This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Money Way Show, and I'm with your host, CJ Money Way. Let's get it.
What's up, my good people? Welcome to the CJ Money Way Show. Today, I got a guest who's a husband, father, author, entrepreneur, and lifestyle coach. Welcome to the show, Sherman Perryman. How you doing, man?
Good, my brother. How are you?
Man, I can't complain. I can't complain, man. Glad you came on today.
Oh, man, I'm glad to be here.
Well, I was going to say before we got started, you know, I was going to ask you about that Lakers Clippers, but you said you don't watch sports.
Nah, man, I have no time to watch sports.
I tell you what, although you say you may not watch sports, that little boy over there in Minnesota, hey, he that real deal right now, man.
I don't even know who you're talking about,
man. Man, you going to hear the name.
Yeah, that's how bad it is, man. I don't even know who you're talking about. I don't know what they look like. I know who LeBron James. You know, but everybody talks about these new players, man. I just sit back. I'm like, man, I have no idea who y'all talking about.
Hey, Sherm, you go hear about this dude, man. Before the finals, NBA finals come, you go hear about Buddy, man, whether you watching sports or not, because Buddy, ain't he that real deal. Mm-hmm. But so tell us, man, you know, tell us a little bit about what your podcast, The Militant Grind Show, is all about, man.
Well, it's all about mental health, and it's pretty vague. I talk to people from all different types of backgrounds and, oh, man, black, white, all over the world, people from Australia, a lot of people from Canada, some people in Dubai. I mean, it's very vague, but what brings everybody together is that everyone has went through something in their life. Mm-hmm. And so what I get them to do is basically just share their story and share how they overcame and things of that nature, you know? So it's like, it's not just about one thing. Like, say, if you want to go on there and talk to someone that went through childhood trauma or spousal abuse, or someone that was a sex traffic survivor who was trafficked on three different occasions. Mm. You know, representatives from the Nation of Islam was on there. You know, I've had people from all walks of life, man. And, you know, at the end of the day, me interviewing people has actually helped me realize that a lot of people have things going on that you don't have any clue about, you know, like, and it doesn't matter who they are, what they look like, whatever, man. I've heard a story by this lady, and if you look at her, you see her speak and, you know, all of that. And then when she started talking, I was like, God damn, like, how bad can this get?
Mm-hmm.
And she just kept going. I'm just like, oh, man, like, it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was just like, man, you really can't judge anybody by what they look like, you know, like, you have no clue what goes on in somebody's mind. So it actually helped me to be more well-rounded as far as like what goes on in the world, you know, and never to really assume or judge anybody.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel you on that, you know, like they say, never judge a book by its cover, you know.
Yeah.
So some things could be good on the outside, but man, we all messed up on the inside. You
know? Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, people having drug problems, you know, alcoholism, people that made millions of dollars and then lost it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, you know, like what you saying that, I've had a few guests too that have come on and talked about how they, you know, had millions and lost it all. One guy told me he had to go back to his mother's house, you know, and stay in a room and reinvent himself. And so, like you say, you may see somebody, what they used to say back in the day, like, you may see where I'm at now or how I look now, but you don't know what I've been through.
Right.
where I'm at, you know. Like, right. It's a grind. And sometimes, like, you know, like a show like yours and, like I was telling you, things that I'm trying to do, it's stories out there that people just don't know, man, that, hey, it can be inspiring to other people because you can be, somebody else can be going through the same thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So that's how I look at it. So you say you're not into sports and things like that, but right. Tell us, what is the grind like, man, competing in fitness, in a fitness competition, man?
No, I'm not. I never did a fitness competition. But working out in fitness, you just competing against, you know, the person you were yesterday. You know, you have to steadily, you know, push yourself to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So it's kind of like a self thing. You know, it's like, okay, I did 150 pounds, you know, for 2 months. I'm gonna try to do 170. I'm gonna try to do 180. You just steadily trying to progress and just become better and better and better. And then, you know, you may think that, okay, I'm at my peak, but then as soon as you stop, you fall off. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you challenge yourself to be consistent, which is like one of the number one things, you know? It's funny that you said the fitness competition. So if someone asks me to do that, I'm not going to do all that, you know? So I'm, you know, I can't see the real value in it, but yeah, man, it's really just competing against your yesterday self for the self today.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I ain't going to ask you how old you are, but 150, 170 pounds, not the kid. Maybe back in my day when I was playing sports and stuff like that. But, man, yeah. I can't touch no weights and try to compete with myself on a daily basis. I'm like Tupac said, I'm like Larry Holmes, all flabby and sick. Hey, no, that ain't me today. So, So with that, man, so what are some of the business ventures, you know, that business-wise that you got going on right now?
I still do taxes, financial consulting, and then just consulting, period. I have a book out called From Grit to Greatness, Harnessing the Five Pillars of the Militant Grind. That's currently on Amazon. And at the moment, I have a journal, but I'm working on another journal. So I have a new journal coming out probably within the next few weeks. And then also I have a militantgrindacademy.com where we accept clients that are looking for fitness training, diet as well, for diet and nutrition. And as of the past couple of days, I'm working on having a nonprofit for young boys in the inner city, you know, that need help. Because there's a lot of single mothers out here. And one of them reached out to me and was just like, you know, my son needs help. Do you deal with young boys and things like that? And I was like, I would like to. And from there, I was like, okay, I'm going to start something for young boys, you know? So I'm teaming up with this other entity called the Gentleman Society out here in LA. And we're getting together and we're just going to, you know, help mentor young Black boys in the community. I mean, I have to say we're against anybody else, but as far as my circle of influence, it's going to be Black boys for now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is that like, that's cool, because I know a basketball coach around the area around here, and they did something similar, like in their basketball camp, where they would take time out, and it wasn't just about basketball. They're trying to mentor the little kids on, like, how to tie. You know, that's something that in our community, a lot of times, people don't know how to do. We got a lot of grown men that can't tie, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's something cool, man, that you guys doing, you know what I'm saying, as far as young men and training them up like that.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, we need more, you know, like things like what you guys doing and what you're doing. We need more people doing things like that. And not only doing it, but we need more exposure for it.
Right.
You know, because a lot of people do a lot of things in their communities. But when you're doing something as positive as that, it don't get as much fanfare. It don't get as much play as something as if somebody went out there and killed somebody or, you know, protesting about this, that, and the third. But things like that, man, need to be recognized, because there are men like yourself and there are other men out here that really care about the well-being of young men, man. I mean, that's just bottom line.
Right. Yeah, and there's a lot. I mean, then another thing is, like, a lot of us don't have any place to turn to or anyone to turn to when it comes to our mental health, you know, or we just don't know where to go, you know. And so providing that for people in our community is very important to me because, you know, I know growing up, I had no one to really talk to about my issues. I had to like harness everything in until I probably exploded, you know, and did something crazy or, you know what I'm saying, reckless, you know what I mean? But you know how that is.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
You know, it's like we're harnessing all of this negativity, negative energy, things like that. And then, like, you know, next thing you know, we just explode. And we're like, man, I don't even know why I did that, you know, because we never just had an outlet. Yeah. I was talking to a brother this weekend that's from Inglewood, and he was just telling me all of the crazy stuff he did. And, you know, he ended up getting his life together when he went to the Army. No, he went to the Navy. And I was just like, wow, man, it's like, you know, I'm glad that you did it. But he was like, yeah, man, and if I didn't do it, I probably wouldn't be here. Because they taught me structure, discipline, things of that nature. You know, and everybody doesn't want to go to the Army or the armed services, but we could figure out something that, you know, we could provide for our people so we could have a better future for all of us, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's good, man, too, because I'm dealing with somebody right now. Matter of fact, I just did an interview with my wife's cousin. And they and they have been putting on events like mental health issue events in Iowa, and they're doing one for Juneteenth. You know, June 15th, they're doing one too, a big event like a festival type thing, man. And so, you know, like I was telling him, you know, like people like yourself, like people like him, and as I was telling him, like, man, you'll find out that there's a lot of people that's really trying to tackle this issue, you know, as far as, you know, as you say, for the community to be an outlet. And so I would like one day that, you know, people that's on the same level, man, just get together and make this thing global. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's bigger than Iowa, it's bigger than LA, you know, these issues going on everywhere. And once we get to that point where people get together, man, and put their resource together, this thing can be bigger than, you know, who knows, man.
Than Nino Brown, you know what I'm saying?
It's bigger than me. Hey, for real. So tell us about this entrepreneur spirit that you said you had that started in the church, man, when you were selling cookies.
Yeah, my mama had a cookie company. And with that company, she was just like, okay, after church, you know, you guys sell the cookies. And if you sell a certain amount, you get to go to this restaurant called Pop's Kitchen in South Central LA. And so I would be hustling, man, because I really want to eat there. So I would just go up to as many people as I can. And now my mom told me, she was like, yeah, you always sold the most, you know, but I just had that drive in me since I was a kid and I loved it. You know, it was like, wow, I could really earn money by doing stuff, you know what I'm saying? And so ever since then, man, I started selling candy at school, then it came to selling mix CDs, Gucci material, snacks, I mean, all kind of stuff. Anything I could lay my hand on, I was trying to sell, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it was like the idea of buying low and selling high, and making your own money instead of sitting somewhere and just, you know, working for somebody and waiting to get paid in 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? I just love that, you know?
Yeah.
I still love it till this day, like earning my own. It's like an addiction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, man, I want to figure it out. I mean, I have had jobs, you know, in my life in the interim, things like that, but it was just nothing like entrepreneurship, you know?
Yeah.
And doing for self. And I work harder for myself than I would anybody else. And I feel like that's the main difference. A lot of people don't understand that you have to work harder for yourself than anybody else. I mean, having a job, man, I remember when I first had my first corporate job at Wells Fargo, right? If you just request it and you'll get paid as if you, I was like, hold on, so we could get paid without even working? Yeah, it's called paid time off, PT. I was like, what? Like, I was just shocked, you know? Because I was like, what other thing could you possibly do on the planet Earth, you know what I'm saying, where you could just not perform and still get paid, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, wow, man, you know? Like, but then I was just like, you know, after I got laid off, I was like, damn, I really need to start making money, figure out how to make it on my own, because I had my first child. You know, she was a few months old, and next thing you know, boop, you're laid off. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, this wasn't as cool as I thought it was. You know what I'm saying? Because at any time, they could, you know, sweep you off from under your feet, you know? mm-hmm. and not even care. It's like, well, whatever you do is on you. You know, I mean, but that, you know, it's business anyway. It ain't no hard feelings, but it's more so like, man, you have to find some way where you could supplement your income and make money. And then that's when I started my next business, and I started going hard in the paint, you know, promoting to everybody, reaching out to people. Man, I was hustling, you know what I'm saying? So it was like I had nothing else to do, you know? I had an apartment. I had a daughter. I was like, oh, no, this ain't going down. So I just, you know.
So, yeah, man, I mean, like you say, I think you made a good point right there. When you're doing your own thing and starting your own entrepreneurship, you know, your own business, man, you gotta go hard at it, you know? And you gotta commit it to it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I tell my boy, I'm like, dude, when you get committed to it, man, I mean, it's nothing else. Like, all that other stuff, man, I ain't trying to talk about all that. Let's talk about getting this plan together. You know what I'm saying? Let's talk about get this, you know, because there's so many different layers and so many different entities to it, man. You may think that you got one thing figured out, but then you find out, like, you know, like now I got a mentor. And there's so many things that you find out that you just didn't know. And I couldn't Google. Yeah. How could I Google something that I didn't know about?
Man, I tell people that all the time. It's like, when they think that they have it figured out, I was like, you really can't Google everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you really have to talk to somebody. And I have a mentor that I talk to once a week through this MBA program that I'm doing. And he is lighting a fire up under my ass. I was like, oh, shit, I really have to figure this stuff out. You know, but then it's like somebody older than me that works with so many people on a high level, you know, and that's what they do. They're going to have ideas and information that they could give you, you know, because it's all about information at the end of the day. But you also have to do the work. And a lot of people don't do the work, and they don't want to perform, and they don't want to execute. You know what I mean? But I do. I believe in mentorship 1,000%. And I wish that people would like get off their high horse, lower their ego, and actually, like, you know, pay a mentor or pay for a class or pay for education. Because a lot of people I talk to, like, oh, you don't need to do that. You could just get on YouTube, or you could just do this. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you. I was telling a friend of mine, I was telling her, I'm like, you can do a lot of things on your own, but to pay that money to get the information that you get is invaluable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just right. So much stuff that you wouldn't get somewhere else. And like, man, like you say, like my mentor, he say he go on the conference call because, you know, I work on Monday, so I ain't been able to go on. He say, CJ, man, he say, I talk about you all the time. He say, because you putting in more work than anybody in this program. Because once I got a taste of it, Sharon, hey, I'm like, I'm going hard at it because this is something that I have a passion to do, and this is something that I want to do. You know, a lot of times people try to knock you off your square, and I had to, hey, whoever had to go.
Right, right. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Tell me this, man. What was the experience like going to a historic college like Morehouse College, man?
It was actually pretty eye-opening, man. Growing up in LA, you know, going to school in South Central and stuff like that, I was kind of ignorant that there were successful or affluent Black people in the world. You know, I thought we all were hood and, you know, little ghetto, you know what I'm saying? But then when I went there, I was, you know, having friends that had parents that were like doctors, lawyers, attorneys, dentists, and judges. I was like, what? Like, it kind of opened my eyes. I was like, I had no idea. You know what I mean? Like, one of my close friends was Jimi Hendrix's nephew, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, it was kind of like, oh, shit, you know, I'm really around some people that came from something, you know, and they look just like me. Mm-hmm. And it kind of changed my life because it was more so like, we're more than what I was thinking. You know what I'm saying? It was like, when you coming from the inner city, you already know we shoot low. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's good. You know, you got a job. You at least you working. But, you know, other communities like, man, hold on, but what are you doing, though? What kind of work are you doing? Like, what's your, you know, like, what do you have going on? Us, I feel like, you know, the circle of influence that I was growing up around, it was like, man, I could have worked at the grocery store and people would have been okay with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was no real aspirations to be than what you've already seen Black people doing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, well, you know, all Black people do this for money, or they work at the docks, or they work for this company, or they fix cars, or, you know what I'm saying? It was like, well, I want to be something greater than that. Like, why can't I? And then when you talk about it, people look at you like, oh, man, those are just pipe dreams. You know what I'm saying? But then when you go somewhere like Morehouse and you see people actually doing it, you like, hold on. Oh, okay. All right. You know? So, yeah, man, I would definitely say it changed my life. Like, talking to my friends who knew me before I went to Morehouse, and then, like, how they say I changed after, that was like, man, when you first came out here, you was, you know what I'm saying? But I'm like, you know, I was from L.A., you know what I'm saying? It was gang banging and all kind of stuff. So my mentality was different, you know what I'm saying? But then after going out there, you know, you let your guard down a little bit, you know what I'm saying? You starting to see all of these great things. It's like, oh, okay, cool. You know, and I encourage people to go somewhere and see that. Like, you're going to get lifelong connections. You're going to be connected to people that look like you, that are progressive. That's also going to help you believe in yourself more and your capabilities. You know, like, I couldn't imagine how my life would have been if I didn't make that move.
Nah, man. Yeah. So, you know, as I'm listening to you, I hear you saying that we saw the Cosbys on TV, you know, we saw the episodes and everything. Like, wait a minute. And the Will Smiths were, the daddy was the judge and everything. Like, wait a minute, man. It's some real life Huxtables out here, for real.
Yeah. No, it really is, man. It really is. It's like dynasties of, oh, my dad went to Morehouse and he's a alpha, and then I became an alpha, and you know, it's like, god damn, like, I just, like, my grandfather went to Tuskegee, and I'm just like, whoa, you know, like, you know, my dad was the first generation college graduate. These people's grandparents went to HBCUs, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was just different, man. And then I started to figure out, I was like, man, I must really be a hood dude, because, you know, golly, compared to like some of the stuff that I was witnessing, man, because I was talking to one of my friends about it. I was like, man, for Thanksgiving and the holidays, you know, man in the back smoking, slamming dominoes, drinking, talking shit. You know what I'm saying? Like the classic, you know, hood scene. That's what I was exposed to, you know? And then I'm in like a totally different space.
Yeah, I mean, I asked because I went to college. I went to school. Of course, I didn't graduate. But I, you know, like a black, like I've never been on the campus of an all black campus. And so that's why I asked that question. Like, what was that type of experience? Because even with your experience that you had, I would tell anybody, just experience the college atmosphere, period. You know, it's just changing, man. Like you say, you used to where you from, you know, whatever, you go out, man, you start seeing different things. And like you say, different type of connection, which, that's why I met my wife at 92. I mean, we didn't get married in 2009, but that's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story.
92 to 2009.
Hey, you heard what I said, man. That's a whole nother podcast show, man. But
man, that's like a grown adult. That's 17 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, man. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home, bro.
Right, man, I feel it.
For real.
I feel it.
So, yeah, man. So yeah, I get what you're saying on that point, man. And, you know, I wish more people, you know, like now, when Deion Sanders went to Jackson State, man, it kind of like blew the whole black colleges up, man. You know, like, and, you know, to the point where we want to take our son to just to go visit. You know, because hopefully he's going to go somewhere the next 5 years. mm-hmm. But, you know, I just want them to experience something like that, man. Something like you experienced in your life. So, next question. So what is your purpose in life, bro?
I feel like to impact.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Others and inspire people and lead them to where they want to go. Now that I reflect back on like my childhood and the knack I always had, I'm just like, man, maybe I should just keep, you know, curating that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was the type of kid to be like, hey, y'all, we all gonna ride our bikes to this park. You know, we never been there, but it's over there. Let's just keep going. And it was far as hell from our house. It's far in a damn car. You know what I'm saying? But like, especially for like a kid to be riding the bikes, but I just had like this perseverance in me, like this go for it attitude, you know, that I could never break. And then with that, I impacted and influenced others, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I would say.
Yeah. I mean, and that's cool too. And a lot of times when you know, like you at Morehouse, you know, you talk about where you came from, and you go on to Morehouse, man, a lot of times God put us in positions, you know what I'm saying, for things like that. A lot of times we don't know why, you know,
yeah,
why I'm placed here, why I'm placed there. But one thing that I've learned just from reading scripture and things of that nature, there's a lot of things that's putting itself together for the greater good.
Yeah.
And even when you're in places that you don't feel like you want to be, like you say, you know, the thing, even from your experience at Wells Fargo, and you know, it wasn't a good thing what happened, but it was something that you learned there, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even the bad things that happened, you know, like a lot of people don't know that one of my inspirations for moving to Atlanta from LA was that some guys rolled up in the van, you know, slid the door open and drew down on us, you know? And I was like, man, I'm not trying to go through this shit. I'm about to get out of here, man. It's too much going on. You know what I mean? So that was one of my main inspirations. But a lot of times we get inspired by some bad stuff, but we don't really want to admit it. Or not a bad, but let's just say unfavorable situations. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to admit it. You know what I mean? Because I ain't gonna lie, when I first went to Morehouse on the campus, and it hit me. I was just like, this is really an all-boys school. You know, like, I don't think I could do this. You know, yeah. It kind of, like, messed me up. I was like, man, where are the women at? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm going, you know, I went to Crenshaw High School, too. One of the most, the blackest high school in the city at the time. You know what I'm saying? It was all black, almost. And so just to, you know, go to a school and not see no women, I was like, oh, no. You know what I mean? But it ended up working out. But at first, I was like, shit, you know? Where's the motivation at?
So how far was it? Because isn't the women's college like right around
yeah,
there? Son,
or yeah, my wife actually went to Spelman, so.
How far is that?
Across the street. Literally on the same block. It's like across the street.
Oh, okay.
Not even across the street. It's like on the same. And Clark is like right there too. So it's like, say if you have a big circle and all three, and Morris Brown too, and Morehouse School of Medicine. So it's like a bunch of schools just based in one spot, one area.
Oh, okay. So you did see the women. Y'all just wasn't in the same.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, during class, you know, it was like majority men, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, we would all meet in one central location to hang out, but you could if you wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you could walk somewhere on the campus and find something, but this was like my first time being on the line. I think I was in the cafeteria and I was like, hold on, wait, what's this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean because I mean, like, although I went to a college, it was women, but coming up from where I came up from, I grew up in Gary, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Gary schools. And in my time, we didn't have white people that went to our schools. Mm-hmm. Like, we was like black. It was black on black on black. And so, but so when you go to different places and you go to college and stuff like that, man, you know, now you're going to meet other races, you know, and so you have to learn how to adapt to certain things and how to talk to people, and you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, everybody ain't bad, man. So
right, exactly.
You know, you forge a lot of relationships, you know, just like how I don't like the label where they try to label us as, you know, thugs and this and that. That's not true. Don't do that. You know,
you can't label everybody else like a certain thing too. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, and I tell people that, you know, because I live in a majority was diverse, but it's white, a white neighborhood now, and people ask me, like, you know, are they racist and are they like this? I'm like, bro, I don't care if they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not my concern. They're not walking around with KKK mask on telling me to get out of here, nigger. I don't really give a damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be whatever. Like, you know, where I come from, you know, my own people was trying to kill me. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you talking about that little stuff, like, man, please.
Hey, I feel you, because I'm a big Tupac fan. And Pac say, it's my own kind doing all the killing here.
Yeah.
Like, we're against each other, man. And that's something, too, you know, as far as the mentorship that you guys doing with the young kids, man, that's something, too. As far as guidance, you know what I'm saying, them in a different direction, so that at one point, man, that, you know, hopefully one point that we'll be able to see it in life, that we can get away from that, man.
Right.
You know, the black on black or whatever, man, because I love my brothers, I love my sisters, you know, and I try to befriend as many people as I can, but everybody just don't want to be friendly. That's just, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
So, with the things that, you know, your purpose in life. So what motivates you? Like, what motivates you to do things of that nature every day you wake up?
My kids, my family. I have to look at it outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at things outside of yourself and you recognize it's not about you, you start to get motivated.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, I went out on Sunday night to, you know, for a friend's party at a club, had a good time, got home late. And I still have to wake up early and take my kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and they were like, if it was anything else, man, I would have put it off. But I have to wake up every single day and make sure that I walk them to school, no matter how I'm feeling or what I'm doing.
Mm. You
know what I mean? So it's like, that's what pushes you. You know, you serving others should push you. You doing well by others should push you. You having a commitment and telling somebody, I'm going to show up on your podcast at this certain time,
mm-hmm.
show up, you know what I'm saying? And exactly. Be there and live up to your commitments. You know, like, what did you commit to do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, that's more so what it is for me, man. Cause it's like, I'm not really motivated like that. I'll just say I'm disciplined. You know, I'll just make sure, you know, like, I have a checklist where I write out all my ideas, all the things that I need to do. Cause I'm a pretty creative person, but sometimes I can get lost. Well, I'm a creative person, but I could get lost in creativity at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, man, write down these ideas. You're not going to remember 300 things, you know? So yeah, throughout the years, that's what I do. Sometimes I fall off, but now I'm like, okay, write this down. Actually, I'm not going to let you know my secrets, but you know what I'm saying? I have a few of them right here, you know, this,
okay.
You know what I mean? Just like that, you know? But yeah. Those are my trade secrets, but yeah, man, that actually is all it is for me, because it's like, you know, plan it out and then execute. Pew, 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 you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I mean, I get you too, because you're like the fourth person that I've interviewed that has said that they write everything down. Like the guy, he's from Hollywood. I just interviewed him yesterday. And he say that every morning when he gets up, he'll write down some things, personal notes for his personal life and things for his business life. You know what I'm saying? And then he goes by those. And and people say that they wake up in the morning and they'll write down, you know, like what they want to accomplish today. And, you know, so like what you're saying, you know, it's going to make me get on that level too, because like you say, one thing that you said, and I'm going to leave it at that, is like I was listening to TD Jakes one time, and he said, when you have all these different ideas, like you were saying, you can't think of 300 things and keep it all together.
Right.
You got to have pockets, you know.
Right.
And so I got to be able to put this and that and this over here and that over there, because if I have one idea and I have one thing that I'm working on, then I come up with all these ideas and try to mush them together, they don't go together.
Right.
Now, I might have an idea like, wait a minute, this go better with that situation, you know what I'm saying? Because as you know, as being creative, man, you know, we're thinking of things, even when you're not thinking of stuff will come up, you know, like just sit down, you eat dinner, like, wait a minute, okay, I got to think about that. That goes with this over here, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, because we constantly moving and multitasking.
Right.
So why do you think people are in the state that they're in now today?
I feel like that a lot of people are distracted. Like they know what they have to do, but they just don't want to commit to it. And they don't want to put in that discipline and work. You know what I'm saying? Like say, you know, if I'm overweight, you know, I know damn well I got to work out and I have to cut out certain foods and things like that. But then it's just like, why am I not doing it? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you doing the exact thing that you know that you should do to better yourself? And I feel like it's a lack of discipline, lack of motivation. You know, if you keep people entertained and fed, they're not motivated to do anything. Like for what, you know, like say when we were, you know, you're older than me, but we were like we were kind of like the same generation, because I feel like not the same generation, but like, I feel like once the internet took off, the world just shifted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like say for me growing up in the inner city, you know, you wanted to work out, you know, like you had to look like you were something, because you never know, you might get in a fight, you know, a tussle, you know what I'm saying? I was like, you know, we were soldiers, you know what I'm saying? Work out, you know, make sure you're doing something, make sure you're making money. Nowadays, you know, kids will just buy some Balenciaga shoes, take a couple pictures, put it on Instagram, and they look like they the man, and girls are all over them. You know, back when we were growing up, you had to have a car, you had to have a job, you had to have something going on. Like, these kids ain't really, you know, like, I'm not going to point anybody out, but like, say, when I look at people like 30 and under, I'm like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all not even really making no moves, you know? It's crazy. Like, they lack more, but I feel like the internet age and the internet just really, like, mess people up to believe that there's something just because they exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But when we were, you know, when our generations were growing up, it was more so like you really had to be that guy and have something to stand on to claim you are that guy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's not just because you got a big following online or you bought some shoes and you posted them on the internet and people liking them. I mean, like the stuff that I be seeing and hearing is just kind of crazy, man. It's like men, you know, don't even really want to establish a fort. You know, they just want to, like, they'll, you know, like, say for me, right, I didn't have a car note until I got an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make sense to me to have a car note and be living at my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Or, like, rent, where I'm like, nah, man, if I'm going to have a car note, I got to make sure that I'm at least have an apartment. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't make no sense. I might as well just buy a car cash and just roll in a little hoopty until I get that together. You know what I mean? So it's like I always thought different. It was like, man, if I have a child, you know, I want to make sure my living situation is okay and I could raise a child in my house, you know what I'm saying, or with me or some way like that. You know what I mean? Some young men are on it, but then some it's like they don't really have to in order to get, you know, what they want, which might be sex from a woman. Like, you could be average, you know what I'm saying, and still have women on you, you know. But I feel like we couldn't be average. It was competition, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to dress good, you have to smell good, you have to look good, you have to have a car, you have to have a cool job, you have to have some game, you know, you got to be able to talk to them, make them laugh, you know, take them places, show them something new. It was just so many different things that you had to do, and you had to, like, you know, garner yourself up to do just to be that dude, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I used to have a little spot that I used to take women to, like, yeah, I'm going to take you to the spot. No, you ain't never been here. They could look at the water, you know, on the beach and all that, you know, and it was romantic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you had to do stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that, too, especially the nowadays, like you say, with the phones, with the games, you know, like I played sports coming up. Mm-hmm. And you had to get out there and work, you know what I'm saying? Like, like, literally get out there and practice on your game and go out there and, you know, like, we go to different neighborhoods and play. And sometimes, like you say, sometimes, you know, you got to stand on some things because you go to some places and you know. Like we play football in this area. It was called 4-9. And we knew, it was the projects. And so we knew every time we went to go play the projects in the projects that win, lose, or draw, you was going to come out of that fight. And I mean, that was just, but I mean, it was inevitable. You know what I'm saying? It was going to happen, period, every time. But like you say, you know, you grow a reputation. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had to stand on some things back in the day, too. These little kids, man, they don't even go outside now. Like you say, from that 30-year-old range to, like, my little son, 13, they don't even go outside, man. You know?
Yeah.
Even
man, you couldn't keep me in the house.
Things that we actually did when we was coming up. So
yeah. You had to go outside, though. It's like, that's where the girls was at. That's where your friends was at. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, nobody was just sitting here talking on phones all day. Like, you have to go see somebody.
Man.
And then the crazy part is, like, when we got phones, the phones were meant for this reason. Hey, man, where you at? All right, cool. I'm about to pull up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Or you talking to your girlfriend. That was it.
Yep. I'm in the hood.
Right. Now I'm on the block. Pull up. All right. Hey, bro, where you at?
What spot you was at? Yeah. Man. I mean, like, they don't know nothing about none of that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, although as parents, as we got older, we do want to shelter our kids from that type of a lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, we got a basketball court in front of our house. And my little son, he a basketball player, but you don't put in the work, though, like you were saying earlier. What is your motivation? You ain't putting in the work, man.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you may think that you better than you are, or, you know, you said something else that made me think about something too, or we're giving them things that they don't deserve.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, look, Johnny got 3 F's and 2 D's on his report card. Why the hell am I buying little Johnny 2 pair of Jordans for Christmas? He don't deserve that.
Right. Right. Nah, for real. This past Saturday, I told my kids to turn off the game and go outside for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
Use your imagination to have fun. You know what I'm saying? And they were like, well, what if they hurt? And they just going to hurt themselves. Well, you know, I got hurt a couple times, too. I fell downstairs, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the name of the game. My uncle was like, man, my uncle told me something. He was like, man, my kid's bad as hell. And I was like, oh, what did they do? Man, they'll kick the ball over the gate and hop the gate. I was like, that's bad to you? Like, that's weird. That was nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
Man, we used to have to climb on top of the school building. When we played baseball, we used to have to climb on top of the school building when somebody hit a home run. So, climbing over the fence. We used to jump over the fence. That wasn't that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we used to jump off the school buildings, as a matter of fact. There was a school.
It's just built differently. So my last question, man. So what actually changed your life to do the thing that you're doing now, man?
I want to figure out what my purpose was, man. like doing something that I would love to do, that not to say that money is important, but where I can make money, but also impact people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I'll be working and doing something, like say if I'm in a sales job where I know that this is kind of janky and it's taking advantage of somebody, I'll have a guilty conscience that will just haunt me. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I don't know if I could do this, you know, and it would always be like, I'm not sure if you know this, but there was always a sales job that you could get doing anything, you know? And so one of my partners, he actually hit me today when we were, I think 18, 19, he was working for Girls Gone Wild, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a call center where you call people and try to sign, you know, get them to buy Girls Gone Wild DVDs.
Yeah.
And I called a pastor. He was like, you know, I'm a pastor. And I was like, man, I can't do this shit no more. And I think I quit like the next day. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm calling pastors and shit. Like, I mean, I like making money, but I got to figure out something else. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, I just didn't want to be the cause of any type of perversion or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's really where the karma is. It's like, you know, I always had a vision like, man, my energy can't be used for this type of shit, or my talents can't be used for this type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, okay, so what do you like to do? What can you do? So I always go to the gym. I've always been into fitness. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, why don't you just do something with it? And I was passionate about, and I never been overweight. I never been fat. I always been a little active. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. But to me, it was like, man, you really can't make money on your passion. You know, you have to do something out of the ordinary and work extremely hard and do all of this stuff, right? But then after talking to somebody about how much YouTubers made and people that do podcasts and things like that, I was like, man, people have been motivating me to do a podcast for years. You know, like, why? What the hell? Like, and I started, then I stopped. And I was like, I mean, not that, you know, they're making 20,000-30,000 a month. All right, cool. But it's like, shit, man. I mean, you like to make money, but you could have been making money doing the same thing they doing. You know what I'm saying? If you were just consistent at your craft, you know what I mean? And I feel like nowadays it's a little different when it comes to what we could do, because we're all capable of doing something. You know, like, man, I couldn't imagine, you know, if you would have told me 15, 20 years ago, like, man, you're going to be on a podcast with a dude and you and where, Indiana?
Yeah,
in Indiana, you know, talking to them through a screen, and we would have been like, huh?
Yeah.
Hell no. Like, what? That might cost, you know, what, we going to be at a big film studio and all of this other stuff? You would have been looking at somebody like that crazy. Nowadays, we have the capabilities to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I feel like I've been gearing up my whole life just for, like, you know, something like this. Because we have the apps now. We have, you know, we can edit on our own. We could do a lot of stuff. Back in the day, it would have been crazy expensive to do what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
And to make it look good, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even with this StreamYard, I was just telling somebody yesterday, you know, like, I don't know if they just put it on here or whatnot, because, you know, I use iMovie to edit and stuff. And so, man, I was just, about last week, a week before last, I was looking at something that say generate. I'm like, generate? It generates clips for you now. Like now, it may generate 3 or 4 clips of our episode. Well, now I ain't got to spend time going on iMovie and trying to make clips for this and that. So, yeah. Man, technology and the things that, you know, that we're capable to do now, man, is, you know, it's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So, yeah, man. So, I appreciate you coming on, man. I appreciate your enthusiasm, man, and your transparency, man. That's what we need more of nowadays, man. A lot of people not really transparent. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, just don't tell me something just to be telling me something. Tell me something.
Right. Right. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Let's get a little deeper. Like, we know we all been through something. You know, give me the juice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You sprinkling around some stuff. There's some things missing. But yeah, appreciate you coming on the show, man. Hey, hold on 1 second. Hey, thank you for tuning in, listening to my man Sherman Perryman. Hey, go check out his book, man. Check out his masterclass. Hey, and the things that they trying to do with the youth. Support a man out there in LA. Follow him on the social media. Hey, what's your social media links, man?
For Instagram, it's Daddy Warlocks, but they can find everything on militantgrind.com.
Militantgrind.com. You heard it right here on the CJ Moneyway Show. Peace.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.